We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What about it? Can a person be a Christian without the church? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We ask you to listen, and we'd love to hear your reactions. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have given to us the church. The church that has brought us the message of salvation. The church, O God, that has reached out to tell us that your redeeming love is ever around us. God, we pray that as we receive Christ as Savior, we may see the importance of that church and find our rightful place in it. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. The Gospel of our Lord.
I love your kingdom, Lord, the place of your abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. I love your church, O God, its walls before you stand.
Friends in Christ, as we continue this series of sermons entitled Basic Teachings of the Christian Faith, we discuss today the doctrine of the church. If you belong to a congregation where the liturgical aspects of worship are followed, you perhaps confess your faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And a part of this creed says, "And I believe in the Holy Christian Church and the communion of saints." That's the church. Way back in the creation story, we read that God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." As a result of that, he did not only create Adam, he created Eve. They needed the fellowship of one another. That's true in everyday life, isn't it, in our secular moving about. We need to be around people, some of us more than others perhaps, but all of us need some contact with other people. That is also true in our spiritual life. We need people. We need them to whom we can turn in the hours of difficulty. Pretty hard to be the only Christian, for example, in a family. I've heard some of our young people tell about after their conversion to Christ, their father and mother still remained unbelievers. Their brothers and sisters knew nothing of the faith. So when Sunday morning came and other people were getting into their cars and going off to worship as a family, the individual who was the only one in her family to be a Christian had to go alone. Likely she would make arrangements to meet with one of her friends and they would go together so that she could sit there in that church, not alone in one of those pews. I've had many a member of the family say, "You know, we have a good marriage, but how I wish that my husband or my wife were Christian too. I especially notice it when I kneel at the communion rail," one lady said to me. "I look out of the corner of my eye, and there is one of my friends. She and her husband are kneeling there together. It is a commune, of course, with God Almighty. But they are also in that most intimate spiritual communion with one another. It is hard to live in a family where you alone are the only Christian. It is because of this need for that unity that Jesus established his church. And that takes us back to the portion of scripture that I read for you today. You remember that they were in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked them a question, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You are Peter, and on this rock," meaning the confession, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is the foundation for the church. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so they had the prophecy that the church was going to come into being. And then it was that on Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, 3,000 people confessed their faith in Christ and were baptized. You can read all about that in Acts 2. And now they were commissioned later on to go out and tell the story of Jesus Christ to various parts of the world. And so there became a church in Rome, Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae. Wherever the disciples went, they did not just see that one was converted, but they remained in that particular city until there was a group. And when that group was established, they started the church. That group needed one another. The church is where believers meet to worship and strengthen one another. You remember after Jesus had ascended from the grave, it was still Easter Sunday, it was along towards evening, and the Bible tells us on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. I have often wondered, what kind of a conversation do you think they were having that night before Jesus came? Could it be possible that one of the weaker disciples could have had second thoughts about Jesus? Could he have said, "We are in trouble. We're in some kind of a mess. Perhaps we should try to leave Jerusalem unseen." I don't want to be hard on any one of the disciples, and maybe none of them said it, but I'm just wondering if those thoughts could have crossed Thomas's mind, because, you know, the Bible tells us that he was the one who sometimes had troubles with doubt. The more stable, I think, if that were a conversation, would have said, "Come on now. Our Lord has said he would care for us." I think it could have been Matthew. Matthew was very impressed with what Jesus said one day and later on wrote it down in his gospel. But he could well have said it that night. Just quoting Jesus, remembering that the Lord had said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And I could well imagine that Matthew would have said, "You know, here we are." Jesus was simply forecasting what was going to happen. We are weary. We are burdened. We don't know which way to go. But what do we need to do? What did Jesus do when he was weary, when he was burdened? He went into the inner garden. He lay there on his knees and he prayed. Maybe this is a time to accept his invitation and come to me when you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What do you say we pray? And the conversation could still have gone on, and another disciple could have reminded them, "Don't you know, our Lord said, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. And then that person could have said, come on, people. How can we forget these words of our Lord so quickly? He never promised us that it was going to be easy, but he always promised that he would be with us. He said we had to take up our crosses. That meant that perhaps we would have to give our lives. But God has said that even in that hour, he would be with us and he would bless us. We need to remain close to him and claim his promises, the foundation upon which he built his church. I don't know about you, friend. I don't suffer a lot of persecutions where I walk during the week. But I sense the need of being together each Lord's Day in his church. There I am strengthened by my fellow believers. And if I have had some doubts during that week, and then I look over and here's a person who apparently is much more intelligent than I am, and he is so committed to that faith, I need his influence. I need his example. And then I need to take that hymn book and sing those hymns and pray together as a congregation. When my week doesn't start that way, and seldom that it doesn't, but when it doesn't start that way, something is missing during the next 6 days. I need to be together. That's why I need the church. When I think back over the many years that I had the privilege, and believe me, it was a privilege, to serve as a parish pastor. If I were young, there is no question at all where I would go. I'd go right back into the parish ministry. I will remember until I die receiving those phone calls. One night, call came, we have just received a terrible message. Could you come over? And so I hurriedly went over, and there sat a father and his second wife. And he said, the military has just been here and our son was killed in Vietnam. His body is going to return in a few days. And that man poured out his heart. As I looked around the room, here were some of his friends. Most of them were members of our church. And so we sat there that night, could not bring the boy back, could not change that broken heart. But we could gather together around the Word of God, and we could pray. God gave them strength to smile through their tears and even perhaps laughed a little bit during those difficult hours. I remember those long vigils at the hospital in the hours of despair, when a loved one was sleeping away and each tick of the clock reminded you that eternity was closer for that loved one. And so we talked about the promises of Jesus Christ in the heavenly home. We needed one another. We needed the church. I remember that night when I was called to the police station, when a young man was there behind the bars. His mother was brokenhearted. His father was so distraught, he could not even come to the station. There was the evidence. There was all the marijuana. No excuses could be made. And we didn't try to condemn, nor did we try to excuse. We simply asked God for forgiveness and for strength. I remember crying on the shoulder of a great big 225-pound man who said, you can't believe it, but our marriage is over. My wife has left with another man. And again, we sat and heard the Word of God. We need one another. Life in this world is not always what we think it should be. We need each other. We need the small groups that are established in our churches. That's why Christ established his church. And another reason is that he wanted that church to go out and tell the story of Christ to this world. The individual was to go, but what one person could not do as an individual, masses of believers in Jesus Christ could gather together and bring that message to the far parts of this old world. And that's what it is all about. So we have the church going out in mission, telling the story of the gospel. The church is dependent on the preaching of the gospel for its continuance. I love what Dr. George Farrell says. Take away the message of Christ and the cross, and buildings, budgets, membership lists, and able leadership cannot make up for it. The church is dependent on the proclamation of the gospel. Yes, there is to be that individual witness, but there is that mass movement of many who have assembled together and say, we will tell the story. It is a church that has a children's ministry. Some people say, I don't need the church, but would they have been members of Christ's kingdom if the church had not brought to them the message of salvation in the Sunday school, other ministries? Well, telling the gospel of Jesus Christ is by far the most important. Think of what has come out of that message. Hospitals, orphanages, social services, homes for the aged, schools of learning. And so the list goes on. This is the church. And that's why Jesus Christ said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that doesn't mean that the church will always abide in our town. If we're not faithful to the proclamation of that word, it can well go. There is no church today in Philippi, and at one time was a very, very strong center for the message of the gospel. So we come back to that old question. Think about it, friend. The opening question, can a person be a Christian without the church? I don't even care to debate it much. I would be willing to say, okay, I imagine he can. Or should he want to do that? But he's a very selfish Christian. For he is not doing anything to help bring this message of Jesus Christ into the world. When some call the church passé, is it needed today? Others might ask. I would simply ask you, what would our society be like without the church? If the church weakens, our society weakens. If one spiritual loner wants to go it without the church, I guess I say, so be it. But friends, remember this. Our civilization needs the church of Jesus Christ. No other organization can take the church's place. Amen.
Christ the Son,
Father, we thank you for your church. We realize, O God, that it is not always perfect, and we are guilty of many things. And yet, Lord, we realize what that church has done through your power, through your leading and guiding. The gospel has been brought to many people. And so we bathe ourselves in that great truth today, that we have a friend, and his name is Jesus. He is anxious not only to bring us into the kingdom of heaven, but he is anxious to use us while we're here. God, give us the grace to lay hold of the great privilege that is ours to belong to the church of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from our listeners. We thank each of you for your prayers and your generous offerings. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2004 calendar featuring nature scenes from across the country with brilliant four-color photos. This calendar highlights an inspiring Bible verse each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, mailing address, and station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.